Good evening. This is the first time since taking the oath of office that I felt an issue was so important, so threatening, that it warranted talking directly with you, the American people. All of us agree that the gravest domestic threat facing our nation today is drugs. Drugs have strained our faith in our system of justice. Our courts, our prisons, our legal system are stretched to the breaking point. The social costs of drugs are mounting. In short, drugs are sapping our strength as a nation. Turn on the evening news or pick up the morning paper, and you'll see what some Americans know just by stepping out their front door. Our most serious problem today is cocaine, and in particular, crack. Who's responsible? Let me tell you straight out. Everyone who uses drugs, everyone who sells drugs, and everyone who looks the other way. Tonight I'll tell you how many Americans are using illegal drugs. I will present to you our national strategy to deal with every aspect of this threat, and I will ask you to get involved in what promises to be a very difficult fight. This is crack cocaine, seized a few days ago by drug enforcement agents in a park just across the street from the White House. It could easily have been heroin or PCP. It's as innocent looking as candy, but it's turning our cities into battle zones, and it's murdering our children. Let there be no mistake, this stuff is poison. Some used to call drugs harmless recreation. They're not. Drugs are a real and terribly dangerous threat to our neighborhoods, our friends, and our families. No one among us is out of harm's way. When four-year-olds play in playgrounds strewn with discarded hypodermic needles and crack vials, it breaks my heart. When cocaine, one of the most deadly and addictive illegal drugs, is available to school kids, it's an outrage. And when hundreds of thousands of babies are born each year to mothers who use drugs, premature babies, born desperately sick, and even the most defenseless among us are at risk. These are the tragedies behind the statistics, but the numbers also have quite a story to tell. Let me share with you the results of the recently completed household survey of the National Institute on Drug Abuse. It compares recent drug use to 3 years ago. It tells us some good news and some very bad news. First, the good. As you can see in the chart, in 1985, the government estimated that 23 million Americans were using drugs on a current basis. That is, at least once in the preceding month. Last year, that number fell by more than a third. That means almost 9 million fewer Americans are casual drug users. Good news. Because we changed our national attitude toward drugs, casual drug use has declined. We have many to thank. Our brave law enforcement officers, religious leaders, teachers, community activists, and leaders of business and labor. We should also thank the media for their exhaustive news and editorial coverage, and for their airtime and space for anti-drug messages. And finally, I want to thank President and Mrs. Reagan for their leadership. All of these good people told the truth, that drug use is wrong and dangerous. But as much comfort as we can draw from these dramatic reductions, there is also bad news, very bad news. Roughly 8 million people have used cocaine in the past year. Almost 1 million of them used it frequently, once a week or more. What this means is that in spite of the fact that overall cocaine use is down, frequent use has almost doubled in the last few years. And that's why habitual cocaine users, especially crack users, are the most pressing immediate drug problem. What then is our plan? To begin with, I trust the lesson of experience. No single policy will cut it, no matter how glamorous or magical it may sound. To win the war against addictive drugs like crack will take more than just a federal strategy. It will take a national strategy, one that reaches into every school, every workplace, involving every family. Earlier today, I sent this document, our first such national strategy, to the Congress. It was developed with the hard work of our nation's first drug policy director, Bill Bennett. In preparing this plan, we talked with state, local, and community leaders, law enforcement officials, and experts in education, drug prevention, and rehabilitation. We talked with parents and kids. We took a long, hard look at all that the federal government has done about drugs in the past, what's worked, and let's be honest, what hasn't. Too often, people in government acted as if they're part of the problem, whether fighting drug production or drug smuggling or drug demand was the only problem. But turf battles won't win this war. Teamwork will. Tonight, I'm announcing a strategy that reflects the coordinated, cooperative commitment of all our federal agencies. In short, this plan is as comprehensive as the problem. With this strategy, we now finally have a plan that coordinates our resources, our programs, and the people who run them. Our weapons in this strategy are the law and criminal justice system, our foreign policy, our treatment systems, and our schools and drug prevention programs. So the basic weapons we need are the ones we already have. What's been lacking is a strategy to effectively use them. Let me address four of the major elements of our strategy. First, we are determined to enforce the law, to make our streets and neighborhoods safe. So to start, I'm proposing that we more than double federal assistance to state and local law enforcement. Americans have a right to safety in and around their homes. And we won't have safe neighborhoods unless we're tough on drug criminals, much tougher than we are now. Sometimes that means tougher penalties. But more often, it just means punishment that is swift and certain. We've all heard stories about drug dealers who are caught and arrested again and again, but never punished. Well, here the rules have changed. If you sell drugs, you will be caught. And when you're caught, you will be prosecuted. And once you're convicted, you will do time. Caught, prosecuted, punished. I'm also proposing that we enlarge our criminal justice system across the board, at the local, state, and federal levels alike. We need more prisons, more jails, more courts, more prosecutors. So tonight I'm requesting altogether an almost $1.5 billion increase in drug-related federal spending on law enforcement. And while illegal drug use is found in every community, nowhere is it worse than our public housing projects. You know, the poor have never had it easy in this world. But in the past, they weren't mugged on the way home from work by crack gangs. And their children didn't have to dodge bullets on the way to school. And that's why I'm targeting $50 million to fight crime in public housing projects, to help restore order and to kick out the dealers for good. The second element of our strategy looks beyond our borders, where the cocaine and crack bought on America's streets is grown and processed. In Colombia alone, cocaine killers have gunned down a leading statesman, murdered almost 200 judges and 7 members of their Supreme Court. The besieged governments of the drug-producing countries are fighting back, fighting to break the international drug rings. But you and I agree with the courageous president of Colombia, Virgilio Barco, who said that if Americans use cocaine, then Americans are paying for murder. American cocaine users need to understand that our nation has zero tolerance for casual drug use. We have a responsibility not to leave our brave friends in Colombia to fight alone. The $65 million emergency assistance announced 2 weeks ago was just our first step in assisting the Andean nations in their fight against the cocaine cartels. Colombia has already arrested suppliers, seized tons of cocaine, and confiscated palatial homes of drug lords. But Colombia faces a long uphill battle, so we must be ready to do more. Our strategy allocates more than $250 million for next year in military and law enforcement assistance for the three Andean nations of Colombia, Bolivia, and Peru. This will be the first part of a five-year, $2 billion program to counter the producers, the traffickers, and the smugglers. I spoke with President Barco just last week, and we hope to meet with the leaders of affected countries in an unprecedented drug summit, all to coordinate an inter-American strategy against the cartels. We will work with our allies and friends, especially our economic summit partners, to do more in the fight against drugs. I'm also asking the Senate to ratify the United Nations Anti-Drug Convention concluded last December. To stop those drugs on the way to America, I propose that we spend more than $1.5 billion on interdiction. Greater interagency cooperation combined with sophisticated intelligence gathering and Defense Department technology can help stop drugs at our borders. And our message to the drug cartels is this: the rules have changed. We will help any government that wants our help. When requested, we will, for the first time, make available the appropriate resources of America's armed forces. We will intensify our efforts against drug smugglers on the high seas, in international airspace, and at our borders. We will stop the flow of chemicals from the United States used to process drugs. We will pursue and enforce international agreements to track drug money to the front men and financiers. And then we will handcuff these money launderers and jail them, just like any street dealer. And for the drug kingpins, the death penalty. The third part of our strategy concerns drug treatment. Experts believe that there are 2 million American drug users who may be able to get off drugs with proper treatment. But right now, only 40% of them are actually getting help. This is simply not good enough. Many people who need treatment won't seek it on their own, and some who do seek it are put on a waiting list. Most programs were set up to deal with heroin addicts, but today the major problem is cocaine users. It's time we expand our treatment systems and do a better job of providing services to those who need them. And so tonight, I'm proposing an increase of $321 million in federal spending on drug treatment. With this strategy, we will do more. We will work with the states. We will encourage employers to establish employee assistance programs to cope with drug use. And because addiction is such a cruel inheritance, we will intensify our search for ways to help expectant mothers who use drugs. Fourth, we must stop illegal drug use before it starts. Unfortunately, it begins early. For many kids, before they're teens. But it doesn't start the way you might think from a dealer or an addict hanging around a school playground. More often, our kids first get their drugs free from friends or even from older brothers or sisters. Peer pressure spreads drug use. Peer pressure can help stop it. I'm proposing a $250 million increase in federal funds for school and community prevention programs that help young people and adults reject enticements to try drugs. And I'm proposing something else. Every school, college, and university, and every workplace must adopt tough but fair policies about drug use by students and employees. And those that will not adopt such policies will not get federal funds, period. The private sector also has an important role to play. I spoke with a businessman named Jim Burke, who said he was haunted by the thought, a nightmare really, that somewhere in America, at any given moment, there is a teenage girl who should be in school instead of giving birth to a child addicted to cocaine. So Jim did something. He led an anti-drug partnership financed by private funds to work with advertisers and media firms. Their partnership is now determined to work with our strategy by generating educational messages worth $1 million a day, every day for the next 3 years. $1 billion worth of advertising, all to promote the anti-drug message. As president, one of my first missions is to keep the national focus on our offensive against drugs. And so next week, I will take the anti-drug message to the classrooms of America in a special television address, one that I hope will reach every school, every young American. But drug education doesn't begin in class or in TV. It must begin at home and in the neighborhood. Parents and families must set the first example of a drug-free life. And when families are broken, caring friends and neighbors must step in. These are the most important elements in our strategy to fight drugs. They are all designed to reinforce one another, to mesh into a powerful whole, to mount an aggressive attack on the problem from every angle. This is the first time in the history of our country that we truly have a comprehensive strategy. As you can tell, such an approach will not come cheaply. Last February, I asked for a $700 million increase in the drug budget for the coming year. And now, over the past 6 months of careful study, we have found an immediate need for another $1.5 billion. With this added $2.2 billion, our 1990 drug budget totals almost $8 billion, the largest increase in history. We need this program fully implemented right away. The next fiscal year begins just 26 days from now. So tonight I'm asking the Congress, which has helped us formulate this strategy, to help us move it forward immediately. We can pay for this fight against drugs without raising taxes or adding to the budget deficit. We have submitted our plan to Congress that shows just how to fund it within the limits of our bipartisan budget agreement. Now, I know some will still say that we're not spending enough money. But those who judge our strategy only by its price tag simply don't understand the problem. Let's face it, we've all seen in the past that money alone won't solve our toughest problems. To be strong and efficient, our strategy needs these funds, but there is no match for a united America, a determined America, an angry America. Our outrage against drugs unites us, brings us together behind this one plan of action, an assault on every front. This is the toughest domestic challenge we've faced in decades, and it's a challenge we must face, not as Democrats or Republicans, liberals or conservatives, but as Americans. The key is a coordinated, united effort. We've responded faithfully to the request of the Congress to produce our nation's first national drug strategy. I'll be looking to the Democratic majority and our Republicans in Congress for leadership and bipartisan support. And our citizens deserve cooperation, not competition. A national effort, not a partisan bidding war. To start, Congress needs not only to act on this national drug strategy, but also to act on our crime package announced last May, a package to toughen sentences, beef up law enforcement, and build new prison space for 24,000 inmates. You and I both know the federal government can't do it alone. The states need to match tougher federal laws with tougher laws of their own. Stiffer bail, probation, parole, and sentencing. And we need your help. If people you know are users, help them. Help them get off drugs. If you're a parent, talk to your kids about drugs. Tonight, call your local drug prevention program. Be a big brother or sister to a child in need. Pitch in with your local neighborhood watch program. Whether you give your time or talent, everyone counts. Every employer who bans drugs from the workplace, every school that's tough on drug use, every neighborhood in which drugs are not welcome, and most important, every one of you who refuses to look the other way, every one of you counts. Of course, victory will take hard work and time, but together we will win. Too many young lives are at stake. Not long ago, I read a newspaper story about a little boy named Dooney, who until recently lived in a crack house in a suburb of Washington, D.C. In Dooney's neighborhood, children don't flinch at the sound of gunfire. And when they play, they pretend to sell to each other small white rocks that they call crack. Life at home was so cruel that Dooney begged his teachers to let him sleep on the floor at school. And when asked about his future, six-year-old Dooney answers, "I don't want to sell drugs, but I'll probably have to." Well, Dooney does not have to sell drugs. No child in America should have to live like this. Together, as a people, we can save these kids. We've already transformed a national attitude of tolerance into one of condemnation. But the war on drugs will be hard won, neighborhood by neighborhood, block by block, child by child. If we fight this war as a divided nation, then the war is lost. But if we face this evil as a nation united, this will be nothing but a handful of useless chemicals. Victory. Victory over drugs is our cause, a just cause. And with your help, we are going to win. Thank you. God bless you. And good night.